Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. It is March 18th that we are recording, which means 2 days ago I had a birthday. So I am just a few days into year 34.
Congratulations.
And with us again is Jamal, who's known me for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since diapers.
No. I've known you since diapers.
Not,
I was like,
it's not
what?
Since diapers. No, no. But yeah, so I've had a birthday, and I have honestly, for anyone who's not in their 30s yet, you have nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, I love
them. I'm really enjoying my 30s.
Mm-hmm. I love them. 30 was like a complete mind shift for me, and I've been really coasting since then. Like I feel good in my 30s. That in my 20s, I felt like a little more turmoil, like in myself. Like I
yes.
was unsettled.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt like when I hit 30, it was like I balanced out. Mm-hmm. And then really stopped worrying about like what other people thought of me, and like I got like delivered from that.
And that's a huge freedom.
Yes.
I remember coming into that myself.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it truly is freeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't realize how much of your energy you were devoting
yes,
to, you know, placating or wondering like, hey, how is this?
Right.
What are they thinking of
right.
this?
Right, right, right. Yeah, of the thought process, even just like that's really taxing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can free up your mental capacity there, then the RAM can go somewhere else. It can like the computer can
yes.
can actually put its energy towards the right stuff. So I think that 30 is, from what I've seen for a lot of people, it's been that.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation about this earlier this week, and you know, Jesus started his ministry at 30. So I you know, not to over spiritualize, but again, too
like
spiritual.
You're too saved, Luke.
but too
yes,
spiritualized.
Yes, yes.
God doesn't do anything by accident.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't do anything by accident. There is something about 30.
Yeah.
And I did feel that shift. For you, going back to when you were getting freed of that mindset, was there anything pivotal in facilitating that, or
honestly,
any realizations?
That's a really great question. No, there was, I don't know. It's like I knew coming up to 30, there was something like 6 months before where it was just like I started to feel a mental shift. Like there was something in me that just was moving towards that. And I don't even remember. I really don't remember like where we were living or like what was happening in that mm-hmm. stage of life. I don't actually remember that. That's a great question. I just know that something shifted like really
yeah.
hardcore. And after that, I really actually started functioning different. It was like a transformation by the renewing of the mind,
yeah.
but nothing really, I didn't feel like anything renewed in my mind, but there was a deep transformation inside of me.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I've always told people, I was like, in your 30s, you keep the fun parts of you from your 20s, but there's a measure of maturity.
Sure.
And there's a sense of who you are.
Yeah.
And that's a gift that I totally see is from the Lord.
Yeah.
And what I would say to anyone who's struggling with that is, you know, allow the Lord to tell you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Fall in love with Him. Just look only to Him, mm-hmm. and then He will tell you who you are. And you start to understand. Okay, I function around people. The Lord has placed me around people,
mm-hmm.
but my identity doesn't come from the people
Absolutely.
That He's placed me around.
Absolutely. I think that is. I would encourage, just like Luke, like you can do that before 30.
Yes, it start. Like, I actually think it starts before. The
yes.
earlier,
oh,
the
yeah,
earlier
sure.
you learn this. Like, if I could go back, this is what I would have learned
yes,
way sooner.
Yes, sir. And I think that that's the interesting part. It's like if you're listening to this now, whether you're 18 or whether you're 55, it's like you can still have that process right
mm-hmm.
now. Like the
or
Lord
70,
can still,
80,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Lord can still do that for you right. here right now. And I think that is part of the beauty of, as Pastor Zach was talking about, like the revival of the Father. Every time I think about that, I think the Father gives identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is something that as Pastor Zach is talking about that and like leaning into that, I think that there is something there that the identity piece, the Lord wants to first help you identify yourself through His eyes so that then you can live that out. Like once you've seen it, you can live it. You can be that. And so it's cool because we've, with the middle school and high school boys, I had them recently write their own eulogy.
Oh, that's heavy.
Yes.
That's heavy. Oh, right? That's heavy. That's good.
But
that's
the
good.
Whole point, Luke,
yeah,
is what do you want people to say of you then? And then how do I now backtrack that and
to
become
today.
That now?
Yes. Amen.
So that if I died tomorrow, they'd still be saying that about me, even though I anticipate living till 80 years old. But if me at 13, 14 years old, if I die tomorrow, I still want to be said that I was this and this and this right. and this. OK. And so I think that, again, if you can get back to the Father, it's the kind of the same concept.
Yeah.
If you can get back to him and get the identity piece from him, then you can start living that out, like project that out into
yes.
who you're going
yes.
to be. The
Absolutely.
Steps I'm going to take Absolutely. Are only in this on this road because that's the road I live on. So so because he's given me identity, I now know I cannot go on that road.
Correct. Correct.
Because that's not the yep. road. That's not yep. the road for me.
From your identity flows your function.
Yes, absolutely.
And your
absolutely.
Purpose.
Absolutely.
Amen. So we're coming into the beginning of a series.
Yeah.
We don't know how long it's going to be.
Sure.
But it's Hebrews chapter 6. This past Sunday, Pastor Zach went through the first 8 verses. And there's this big call to maturity, a call to leave the elementary principles and moving on. So and we have this, he started talking about, you know, this is the revival of the Father. Like throughout history, like you'll see different movements. Mm-hmm. And I think that these movements, you can see it across history. You can see it across time. You can also see movements of the Spirit in your own life.
Sure.
Like where I encountered sure. Jesus.
Sure.
This was my salvation moment. So I truly good. Understood who Jesus was.
So good, yeah.
Then we move through seasons of, oh, and because of Jesus, I now have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives me power. But Pastor Zach is calling us to focus in on the revival of the Father. And there are certain things that can only happen when the Father is in the room, mm-hmm. as you were saying. And I believe maturity and leaving those childish
yes,
ways
sir.
Or
yes,
those
sir.
Elementary ways, that is the role of the Father.
Sure. Yeah. I was telling our middle school boys that it's kind of an interesting space because after a certain age, your mom isn't quite the same authority. So I was telling him a story about my grandmother that, again, she was pretty hardcore. Little lady,
yeah.
she was
yeah.
tough, though. Right? And probably I told him, like, 15, 16 is probably the last time she actually hit me because the time before she, like, hit me with a broom and the broom broke, and so she was mad about that. So then the next time she hit me with her hand and I was fine, and she had to wear a brace for the next couple of weeks, and so she stopped hitting me, right? But there's a moment there that as a man that I start to challenge her authority. I start to challenge even her discipline, and it's not like I ever tried to hit her back, but I'm not just going to let you hit me. Like, I'm
right.
putting my hand up and stuff like that, whereas there's something to a father's presence that most of the time you almost never lose that. And it does go from fear to reverence,
yeah.
right? It does actually transition there. But I think that there are places that the father is the one that has to kind of inculcate some sort of authority and some sort of discipline, because you're not going to like buck up against your father.
Right.
And in most instances, in most
right.
cases.
Right.
And then as he gets older and is a little more frail, again, it's already turned to reverence.
Right.
And so now I respect you and honor you. And I would never, like, I'm trying to get you like up out of bed. You get back to the place where, you take care of them like they took care of you. Like, so, I see it clearly as I dealt with my grandmother, that there are some things that a man needed to say to me so that I'm like, oh,
right.
okay.
Right.
And I'm not pushing against,
because right.
my grandmother at a certain age, just like I started pushing against the authority. And I think that that is a huge part of the revival of the Father.
Right.
I think that there is the discipline's sake. I think that there is like something about even us stepping into where we're supposed to step into, and Christ being the head and
right.
showing us how to be
right.
the head. Like
right.
there is something that like locks together in that as the Father comes in and shows you actually who you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to operate.
Amen. Amen. And you know, and you see this, you know, you can look at the move of Satan to undermine fathers and to distort the image of father, because if he can cause us to not have a father, that's Satan's ideal plan, is that
absolutely.
You would grow up fatherless.
Absolutely.
And then if you do have a father, it's that he would not function into his God ordained or you know, his mandate as a father, yeah. so that you have a distorted picture of your father. Either he's abusive or he's passive or yeah. he's absent in some way. Because then it gets in our way of understanding God as our true
sure.
father.
And can I add, Luke, tertiarily, if he can, even if you have a good father, then he'll try and plant a seed of bitterness or anger
right.
or something right. in there that he did this to me one mm-hmm. time or something
right.
like that. Like,
oh yeah, even the best fathers yes, are not perfect
absolutely.
Too. So.
And so he'll try to plant the seed even for your good father
yes.
to try to get some
wedge.
Some wedge in your heart. Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what would you say would be the first step to us reconciling this poor image of a father in our mind, and in order that we can come to understand God as our true father? There's many steps there, but how would
That's
you say...
That's a crazy question, Luke. Ask it again.
Okay, no. So you know, I'm sure as we talk about this,
yeah.
you know, there's people in various stages of healing.
Absolutely.
Like, I had to go through healing of God as my father.
Yeah.
You know, I had to understand, okay, my earthly father, as much as he loved me, he had flaws.
Yeah.
And I had to walk through a path of, I think, forgiveness and understanding, allowing God to show me my father the way he sees him.
Yeah.
And then also trusting that God is my good father.
Yeah.
And growing in a relationship there.
Sure.
And it does take time, and it takes like revelation.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering how you would, you know, recommend someone start that process.
I think it's interesting because I think a key is what you just said, allowing the Lord to show me how he sees my father.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge, right? Because again, we're talking about identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I want you to know your own identity, but I also want you to know other people's too.
Right.
Like I want you to see your father in the way that the Lord does. And then that changes the grace that you have for him. I also think, and I'll say this for me, okay, getting some men around you that you actually can trust and that can pour into you, I think is revolutionary.
Yeah.
It like changes everything. And I said this before, but I'll say it again. Holly's dad, my father-in-law, he proved to me and has proven to me time and time again that he did not want anything but the best for me.
Right.
He proved that to me, Luke. Like he never mm-hmm. wanted anything that was just for him and not also benefiting me. And if he could sacrifice to benefit me, he would. And that has been such a beautiful picture of the Lord to me, that he did sacrifice for me so that I could be better, so that I could be whole. That real life picture, not that he's always been right, and not that I would make every decision the same way
based
he
on
does.
He's
right.
Yeah, yeah.
However, he's proven to me something about the heart of God. And even throughout Stephen Salvatore, I like sat with him today, and it was just such a beautiful time. And I know that he wants nothing but the best for me. And sometimes that means that he has said to me, don't ever say that again. Like what just came out of your mouth, don't ever let me hear you say that again. And I have to go back and feel the conviction of the Spirit in there. But he's proving to me something about the Father
right.
when I allow him to do that for me. And most, I think that so many men, mm-hmm. as we're getting old and we're pushing against certain authority, right, that you don't allow someone to come in and mentor and like come under someone
right.
and allow them to actually be a father to you and mm-hmm. show you what the heart of the Father is. And so that was really hard for me, Luke, because I almost didn't want it. Like there was a certain place that I'm like, I'm good. I've been doing this my own. Mm-hmm. I'll get there. Like me and the Lord are fine. And as I get into community, I think that is a key. I think actually being in community with other men, I think will prove to you over time what the Father's heart actually looks like.
And that's something I was thinking about when I was meditating on the message. Like what is the facilitator to maturity? And the Lord brought me back to the need for greenhouses and even just a need for church because your salvation is you and the Lord, right?
Yep.
That's something that I work out with the Lord with fear and trembling,
mm-hmm.
work out my own salvation.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Lord does say, like, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Like, don't you need to go to church. You are part of the body
Absolutely.
Of Christ.
Absolutely.
And that's the beautiful thing about a healthy church community, a healthy Christian community, is we receive the missing pieces mm-hmm. that we didn't get from our earthly families mm-hmm. or wherever we found
Absolutely.
Ourselves. There is someone in the church that has that missing piece for yeah. you. And I was even thinking as you're talking, like we're talking about us as men, but even women.
Yes,
like, I guarantee you, like there's a woman, like you're listening to this right now and you're like, oh yeah, it's always about the men and their community. No, the Lord has that for you here too. Mm-hmm. There are older men that can speak into your life
yes.
the way your father yes. didn't get to speak
yes.
into you.
And yes.
And that's what church is for.
Absolutely.
And I also think there's this, I've talked with some older people over at different times and they go through this season, I think sometimes, and they're seen as they get older, mm-hmm. are feeling irrelevant.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to
Absolutely.
Do because this is your fathering time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are a spiritual father. You mm-hmm. can be a spiritual grandfather mm-hmm. and you should rise up and take that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird, right? Because there are different phases of life. And I think it was the book Wild at Heart. I think it was. Anyway, mm-hmm. but that talks about, again, even going from being a king and ruling. And so after, in our senior years, you almost stop ruling the kingdom. You really don't want to anymore. But there is something that you feel like you've lost. But actually, you become the advisor to the king.
Like, exactly. Yeah.
And that actually yeah. is where you're yeah. supposed to be sitting. So just be encouraged, seniors. Like if you're listening, we want what you have. Mm-hmm. Like we're waiting for
right.
it. Like
right.
we need it. We're
right.
desperate for it.
Right. And in the same way, like you and I would mentor a high school or
right.
a middle school boy.
Right.
There might be some resistance to what we're offering them.
Mm-hmm.
Expect that resistance. Mm-hmm. That's actually part of the process.
Yes, absolutely.
It's in that like bucking up against one another that there is a sharpening.
Sure.
It's these rough edges coming off.
Sure. Yeah.
So you know, press in with the Lord and speak into our life, speak into the life of our church. You know, we
yeah.
want to have the full
yeah.
the full stature,
absolutely.
The full maturity.
Absolutely.
And so that's where I think that we need to rest on when we're approaching this discussion is that not only does this happen within my relationship one-on-one with the Lord, but I grow into maturity best when I'm in the context of a mature community.
Sure. And I think, again, you can't mature well with just the thoughts you have in your own head. It's like nobody actually comes to real maturity that way. Oftentimes you've got to do the bouncing of ideas
yes.
back and forth, like the volleying back mm-hmm. and forth. That not, again, not everything that Luke does do I agree with. Like he works out all the time. What do we just do?
I try.
I'm like, I'm
has
why
it always
would
been
I
that
do
way?
That?
But
no,
I
can it
speak
hasn't.
Into your life and tell you,
you
how
be
much
father.
Better I'll be your brother. I'll be your spiritual brother and say, yeah, man, if you got to that gym, man, those biceps would pop. Those pectorals.
I already have a wife. Luke.
Those
it's
lats.
Fine. I already have a
yeah.
wife.
Some wings.
But we're not going to live the same life. But you can encourage me to come higher in some of the things that I need.
Yeah.
And I can do the same for you.
You do. Yeah.
And there's been such a beautiful thing of our friendship growing over the years that right. now as we sit and have conversations, I'm like, wow, I could have yeah. never imagined this setup, that the Lord was setting something up all the way back there.
Oh, I know. Yep.
And again.
And it was not always nice and easy.
Lord help us. It was not always nice and easy. But here we are. And that actually has forged us together even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we know each other even deeper. So don't, as Luke was saying, on that level, on like the senior coming down level, but even on the brotherhood level, on the fraternal level, on the sororal level, make sure that those kind of bucking instances don't cause you to love one another less. Actually, you should see it
right.
as I love you
yeah.
that much that I'm willing to
Amen.
Address that place
Amen.
And we can talk
oh,
about it.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Well, there's so many times like I really don't know my own weaknesses.
Yes, sir.
Until they're exposed.
Yes, sir.
Through an interaction with someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even then, it's only when they say, hey, when you did this, you hurt me and I felt X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Now I'm learning about myself.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm seeing the effect. effect of something that
absolutely
I did, even if I was well intentioned.
I'm
learning.
Right.
And then and then we grow in maturity, and we actually we do grow closer together. So again, I think a big part of it is doing it in community. And community is messy. So expect a mess. Expect the clash. Okay.
Expect a mess.
Expect the mess. Yeah. We love the mess.
Right. I mean, we are a mess.
We are.
So when you step in, you got to expect a mess.
Right.
Just because you're there.
Yep.
Like
absolutely.
I expect it to be messy when I come around because I'm a mess.
Like, yeah. You know, so like last weekend when I was with the kids in Berea, there were some like, you know, little things that came up. And, you know, I think some people were like, yeah, I'm glad that got addressed. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. I think that it would have been, in a sense, a lesser experience if we went and everything was perfect.
Interesting.
Behavior-wise.
Interesting.
Because everyone was keeping things hidden. Rather than when you know, it's almost like the Lord entrusts us as a community for some things to go a little bit wrong so that they can be addressed. And then now we all grow and we're all better off for
it. Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
So now moving on to leaving the elementary teachings, I wanted us to focus on these two principles that Pastor Zach brought up of why we don't always leave these elementary teachings and moving on to maturity. So the first he says is we don't trust what we're climbing on.
Elaborate, Luke.
So this is all. So in this context, he was talking about basically the church what we've just been talking about, and I think a lot of people are like, "Yeah, that's how church is supposed to function." But I could bring up an example from my past, or even this church, where, yeah, I don't really trust the church that I'm climbing on. I don't trust this authority, these authority figures that are supposedly bringing me to Christ,
right? Again, even I don't trust that the structural, like the structure is there to hold it. And I think that that does turn off a lot of people from church. It's like they feel like the structure isn't something that they can stand on. And I'm like, right, because Christ is the firm foundation. Like that's what you got to stand on. But I do understand.
So good.
I do get that you feel like you can't. Like the church will crumble. And I thought it was, again, it's such a powerful statement, as Pastor Zach said. And me and Stephen Salvatore were having this conversation this morning that, again, that it's like 25 years you've watched somebody's ministry, they fall, and they're, by the grace of God, getting closer to him, and you are getting further away. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But I understand there, you not feeling like, I can stand on that, because everything that can be shaken will be.
Right, right. Well, like I was just talking with a friend. She reached out to me for my birthday. I hadn't heard from her in a while. So then we started talking about her life and like where she was with the Lord. And she was talking about how she's really having a hard time right now. She's processing her faith because of a scandal that she saw that was exposed. It was exposed, you know, by the grace of God, but it was this gentleman who operated in the prophetic, supposedly, it was discovered that he would go on Facebook and learn things about people first so that he would give these words that seemed very on point.
Right.
And then he would refuse to prophesy over anyone he didn't know.
Mm.
And so that got exposed, but she had a very, it was for her, there was like a fallout, even though like she's still secure in the Lord and she's hanging on to like those core places.
Yep.
It's still hard for her to navigate.
Absolutely. I don't know why I'm thinking of it this way, but it's like, again, you're correct that the water cannot hold you. Like when you're stepping out on the water and you're like stepping out in faith, because that's where Peter is when he's stepping over the side of the boat. Like there's a place of faith that he's operating in. But again, Christ is actually the solid foundation,
yes.
right? So the water is not solid,
no.
but you can walk on anything with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, again, that weird place of, I'm kind of supposed to be out here, kind of not supposed to be out here. The wind is whirling around. Like, the situation that they're in, like, as they're thinking that they're seeing a ghost, it's like, this is mind-blowing. What is going on here? But even in the midst of that, if you're keeping your eyes on Jesus, then you know where to go. And you and back to, like, the original point, as we were talking about, like, knowing the identity. Mm. When you know your identity, you know what roads you're supposed to walk on and what you're not supposed to walk on.
Yes.
And what is firm for somebody else is actually sand for you.
Right.
And so you've got to, and so that's the interesting part of you're never putting more trust in the organization, in the structure, in, you know, the trellis, in the vine.
Right.
You have to have really put your faith in Jesus because that's where it's going to be firm for you. And if you don't, you're correct. What you step on will not, you shouldn't trust what you're standing on if you're not with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when, I liked the analogy that Pastor Zach used of the skyscraper, right? And, you know, because it's not that we abandon these functional, basic teaching, these truths.
Right.
It's not, that's not true. Mm-hmm. That you actually, you keep building on them. Right. Like, they don't go away.
If they're not there, you don't have a skyscraper. Right. You have a one level.
And when you encounter something or when you encounter a person who is fallible, who does make a mistake, it's okay, go back to what you know is true.
Right. That's so good, Luke.
Go back,
to the last level that actually
that you know is
you.
True. And but allow the, again, Jesus is the foundation.
Right.
Because Satan will want you to make anything the foundation other than Jesus. Absolutely. He would love you to have his Providence Church as the foundation.
Absolutely.
Zach Lenz is my foundation.
Absolutely.
Jamal, he's my worship foundation.
Better not be.
Okay. But that's how, that's what Satan would want you to fall into.
Yes,
it's like, yeah, like this is how I hear from the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is what keeps me grounded. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no. We are tools. We are part of it, but it's not, we are not the foundation.
Even if Pastor Zach never has a quote unquote fall from grace,
right,
he's got to die sometime.
Yes. Yes.
What do you do?
Right.
If he was your foundation,
right,
Jamal's got to go sometime.
Exactly.
What do you do? I mean, I hope to get caught up in by fire. Like, I'm so serious, right?
Amen.
I want to just be in worship and just all of a sudden be gone. Oof. Like, I'm good with that. However, what do you do if you're found, if you're built on that? The person has got to go at some point. So whether they fall, whether it's like scandal or whether they're just gone, you've got to build on the thing that is solid. Mm. On the chief cornerstone.
Amen. Yeah, I love what Pastor Zach said. He said, all people are fallible, but truth is truth.
Yeah.
Because the power is in the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a good word.
So moving on to the second point, why we have a hard time leaving these elementary stages and moving on is Pastor Zach brought up that we don't trust who we're climbing to. Mm.
That's what I actually thought of, Luke, when I was sitting there listening to it. I thought of the kid that you're trying to get. Like Victoria, when we first got her, would not climb up on the slide. Like she just didn't want. She it was too high for her. It was like no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And after a while, Luke, she started to trust that I wasn't going to let her fall, and so. Even though it's kind of a weird picture because I'm on the ground, I'm not up on the thing, but there were times where at first I had to go up onto it with her and convince her that she could trust me to climb up. And I literally, it's like I saw that picture. I saw that as myself, though, of like looking up at Daddy and him saying, you can come high. Like, it's okay. Like, and even if you misstep.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you fall.
Right.
Like, exactly. If you misstep and
so
nobody's
good.
Here,
yes.
I keep saying that, that there are certain places in your life where it's actually safe to fail.
Mm.
You need to actually try to fail in those places where it's safe to step out. And I'm not saying fail on purpose, friends, but I'm saying where it's safe to step out and a failure is okay.
Yeah.
It's covered.
Yeah.
It's under the umbrella. It's fine. And I think that was the beautiful picture that I got, that I'm standing, that the Lord is standing up on the top saying, Jamal, it's okay to come higher.
Right. And that's something that I've learned. But there's still that impulse that I have to get over of, but if I fail, is he going to stop trying to teach me? But how did you feel with Victoria? Because I really think those, like, that father heart is what we are not believing in when we mistrust.
Yes, sir. And again, she's been so hurt in her life by the people who were supposed to be an authority to her. And so there is something in the fact that I know that, that it, number one, softens my heart for her. Because I have a pretty cold heart sometimes.
I can feel the heat now. It took a couple decades, but the heat got turned on.
Must have been my 30s or something. My heart has definitely grown a couple sizes. And it's been interesting, again, because really all I've had to do is encourage her and prove it to her. That's all I've had to do, just encourage her and prove it to her. Now she knows. She will run up behind me and just jump on me. And even though sometimes I have almost dropped her, because, girl, you got to give me a little. But she now does not believe that I'm going to drop her. There's something that's been proven in her soul that she can trust Papa. And again, I think that that is part of what it is you have to keep running back to him. Like, that is the trick, that you don't trust who you're running to or who you're climbing to. And so the enemy convinces you to back away,
yes,
instead of keep coming towards. And so when Victoria, at this point, when she has a problem and she has a boo-boo, she runs to me, Luke. She runs to me to say, Papa, can you kiss it?
Yeah.
And if it's on her elbow,
yep.
I can't even kiss her arm. Yep. She's like, Papa, that's not where. Right. It's on my elbow. But I've proven to her even that you coming closer to me is actually going to make you feel better. Mm. It doesn't really do anything. The kiss doesn't do anything.
But it's the coming close.
The proximity,
yeah,
proves that I can go to my father for anything. Mm-hmm. When I fail, I can go. When I succeed, I can go. And again, I think that there's something about, right, there's no waste at the altar. I always think about that. And so I can lay anything,
right,
at my father's feet, and he can use it.
Yeah.
And he wants, right,
right,
it.
Right, yes, yes.
But that, I think, if there's anything I can counsel you towards, it's like, keep running back to the Father, and let him prove to you his actual heart. There are things that I do now that Victoria doesn't understand, and she won't probably for another few years. But if she continues to be with me,
right,
she will understand.
Right, because you don't fault her for not understanding.
Absolutely not, because there are times where I don't understand my father's heart. Mm-hmm. And so I there's a grace, me and you were having this conversation, there's a grace in, again, sitting in an authority position looking down and being in the situation,
yes,
at the same time.
Yes, there is.
It's like, I have been there. Even now, there are times where I question our father's heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God, what are you actually doing, bro?
Right.
Like, could it just be easy for a little while?
I know.
Yep. Why are we doing this? Like, over the past several months of church, it's like every week something is devastating my heart. Like, somebody's gone or something has happened that Pastor Will, I think, said it best. It's like, and as the servant was talking, as the messenger was speaking to Job, another messenger came. And that's how it's felt over and over and over again. And then I say, okay, Lord, what are you subtracting in order to multiply? Because I've learned that of your heart, that you're not just doing this just because, but that there is something that you're turning around or that you're setting up, you're infusing power into the board. And so there might be some pawns that get taken out. There might be a knight that gets taken off of the board, but it's so that it gets set up so that the king gets what he wants and what he deserves.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when as you were talking about, you know, there's things that Victoria doesn't understand.
Yes, sir.
Right. So, and there are things in our life that God does that we don't understand,
yes,
or that we're still growing. He is I'm taking that as like, well, he's committed to the relationship, because in time we will understand.
Yes, sir. Yep. And I that's why I always bring my class. I teach Genesis and Exodus, and I always bring them back to the fact that the Lord is good. Again, you can see greatness from a long way away. I've even, again, been talking about to the boys about this. It's like, you can be a great man in people's book and only have ever done one great thing in your life. But will your kids look at you and say he was a good man?
Right.
In order for them to say that, it means that they have to be around you. They have to learn who you are. The greatness you can read in a book and say, oh, that was great. But the goodness to say he was a good man, you don't know that unless you've been around the person and interacted with them. And I think that that is part of the Father's heart. He wants us to know his goodness, right? Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. Like it's running after you, chasing you down. And when you find that part of the Lord's heart, again, you stop questioning the steps that he's telling you to take up the ladder to the slide. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a wild ride, right? Because you can't really see down the slide. Yep. Like, maybe the slide is turning and all that kind of stuff. It's cool, you know, big, because you get bigger slides. Like, now her little slide outside of our house is nothing for her to climb on. But when I tell her to go on to a bigger slide and she looks down, Papa, I don't know if I can do that. That's exactly, but do you trust my heart, my goodness, that I'm not going to tell you to step somewhere that is not firm.
Not safe for you, yeah.
You're so not. I'm not going to let you fall.
Right.
And the Father keeps doing that to us. Mm-hmm. It's like, Lord, I don't want to get on that roller coaster. You are crazy if you think I'm getting up there. And he says, do you trust me? It is going to be a wild ride. It absolutely is. But you've got to trust my heart in that. And I think that he's continuously trying to prove that to us as we walk back to him.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and this is why, you know, that the passage starts talking about, you know, like they were arguing about, you know, different ceremonial washing.
Yeah.
They're like, And you know, different like doctrinal things. And it's not that those things aren't important. It's not that doctrine's not important, but it's what's our focus on? Is my focus on Jesus and growing towards him and then also with the people around me? Or is it about like me being right? Am I trying to drive? I think that that's like a good way of, you know, processing that.
Yeah.
But that, because that's, it's our heart posture.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is some of the most important thing that I've been coming back to the Lord with, is like, God, every decision I make, I want to really have a clean heart. Like, I really, really I want to prove his heart. I want to be like his heartbeat. Like, when people hear me and see me, I want them to feel the love of the Father. And again, let that be a proving ground for coming back to him. But it's not always what I want to do. I don't always want to go say sorry. Come on, Luke. I wish I had a church in here. Okay? I don't always want to, but I want to be like my Father.
Yes.
I want to be like my Father. And prove he really is good. There's nothing about Robin Bennett, Holly's dad, that I don't talk up every time I can. He can do anything. He's like great with his hands. Like he's a phenomenal person. But what I talk about is his heart. I talk about the posture of how he feels about me and how he shows me the love of the Father. And I want that to be said of me, Luke. I know I have a cold heart sometimes.
Not anymore.
But I actually want that. No. I want that to be said.
We all
of
do.
Me.
We all need that heart change.
Yeah.
And that's
a heart of stone is generally cold.
Right. And you know, like that's what, you know, like as the passage goes on, it talks about like if you've tasted of the heavenly gift. Once you've tasted of it, you want more. And he starts to change you. And once he changes a little bit, as hard as it was, it does get easier. I'm like, God, change everything.
Yeah.
Just change it all. And it's like, he's like, okay, I don't think you know how big of a prayer that
is.
It's a process, right? but it is a process. And it's like, it is something that you start to want. Maturity is something that you want.
Yes, sir.
Especially as you see it coming into your life little by little.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I can manufacture for myself. It has to be imparted, implanted, and nurtured in me.
Yeah, because when I became a man, I put away
childish things.
Right, and so again, there's something in that you are required to put the stuff away. Right, but most of the time you don't want to. Like that is like you said, that's the maturing process, because the child doesn't generally want to put their toys away.
Right, right. Yeah, and that passage in 1 Corinthians 13, what Paul's calling them to is that, you guys are exercising all these spiritual gifts.
Yes, sir.
But there's no love.
Yes, sir.
there's no, and love is the marker of maturity.
Yeah.
Jesus says the world will know you're my disciples by how you love
one another. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great, Luke.
Well, this has been an awesome talk. I'm excited to see where Pastor Zach takes us on Sunday.
Yes. This next couple of weeks is going to be phenomenal. Of course, the March 30th is the
youth takeover. Yes, that's going to be awesome.
I'm excited for that too.
Super excited.
It's going to be great.
All right, Jamal, just bless us and we'll go about our week.
Lord, we thank you for today. We pray that you would show us your heart again. Prove to us your heart again. Let someone know that the deficiency that they feel right now is just you proving yourself to them again. Let someone feel that the thing that they're going through, the hurt and the pain that they feel, that they can come back to you every single time, because you are where healing is. Friends, make sure you go to the doctor if you're sick. Make sure that you actually let him touch you and let him heal the thing that you need healed. Go to him. There is healing in his heart for you. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray for a great revival of the Father. Mm. That we would see it, that we would know it, that we would touch it, that we would feel it, we would smell it, and that it would transform us forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Jamal, I love you.
I love you, Luke.
I love you so
God
much.
Bless you.
You're such a gift to us. All right, family, we will see you on Sunday. Go out and share the love of the Father. Can't count on.